Coach Harris and I met 5 years ago, and we were in a pool, don't ask why. And I remember thinking, I like that guy.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on in to Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. Normally just Monday through Friday, got a special Saturday podcast. Today, I was on a podcast with Colby Dant. He hosts, I think, a handful of podcasts, but this specific one is called The College Football Experience. He is going in alphabetical order. This is his second summer doing this. He goes through alphabetical order, having a preview of every team in the FBS. So he reached out to me to do his Auburn episode, and I recorded it and got his permission. But if you like this, there's going to be one for every single team in college football, which is crazy. So if you're interested in that, be sure to head over to his podcast, The College Football Experience. But yeah, I thought I'd share this here.
Joining us on the College Football Experience, host of the Locked On Auburn daily podcast about Auburn Tigers football and basketball, Zach Blackerby. How are you, Zach? I appreciate you hopping on and talking Auburn football with us.
Man, huge honor. It sounds like you're doing a show for each college football team, and there's a lot of Auburn guys out there, so I appreciate you asking me, man.
Hey, well, I'm very grateful. So let's get into this. Let's talk Tiger football. We got Brian Harsin, year one. First off, I guess I got to start there. Were you happy to see Malzahn leave? Because I know that was controversial. I feel like some people thought, hey, you know, so what's your take on Malzahn getting rid of, dismissing Malzahn and now going to Harsin?
At the time, I didn't love the departure of Malzahn. I didn't love that we were pushing him out the door, especially in the middle of a pandemic when money was kind of a thing that, you know, a lot of people were struggling with at the time. And now, with hindsight being 2020, and you've already seen what Brian Harsin has done from a culture standpoint without there being any football games yet, just spring, and, you know, how he's managed the transfer portal, I'm really impressed with what Harsin's done. So I think now, having more information than we did at the time, you know, right after that Mississippi State game, I think it makes a whole lot of sense. But at the time, I was a little confused. But, you know, the Brian Harsin hire, I think it's got a lot of Auburn fans really, really excited. I think you're seeing things from a different perspective. You know, Auburn, they really haven't changed much in the last 8 years. Gus came in, made it to a national championship in that first year. In 2014, they were very, very good. They kind of, you know, were on the wrong side of a few weird calls, but they had a national championship caliber team. It just, you know, that's a game of football. Then 17, they almost got there again. And then, but outside of that, it's just been kind of really bland, vanilla offenses with, you know, the occasional really good defense. But now you're starting to see Harsin come in and you're like, oh, wow, we weren't doing things like they do it in Alabama or at Georgia or at all these, you know, these power five, you know, power schools, you know, throughout the country, like your Clemsons and Ohio States and things like that. And so you're seeing more and more stories come out about Malzahn, about how he ran recruiting and how he, you know, structured his staff and how he didn't let anybody help him with anything. And now it's like, oh, a lot of people run things actually like a business, like a company, not like a high school football program. So it's been interesting to see that shift. And it's happened pretty quickly, which is impressive.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, I normally have a co-host. He's not here on this episode, but he defended Malzahn. And look, I think Malzahn's a good football coach.
I do
but
too.
I thought he was unnecessarily gimmicky. I thought, like, hey, you're Auburn. I get it. Okay, Alabama might be bringing, I know, I don't want to say too much because I know you're an Auburn guy.
Sure.
But I'm saying, you know, you're still Auburn. This is the, you know, you know, I think one of the more premier programs in the country. Now, you don't need to be this gimmicky. You don't need to be this, like, I always felt like Malzahn, especially his later years, kind of was shooting himself in the foot on a lot of these things. And here comes in Harsin, who I'm very curious to, I don't know what to expect because I know Harsin did well at Boise, but they weren't as good as the Peterson years, but they were still, I mean, you're in Boise. The fact you're winning 10, 11, 12 games, I think you got to be a good coach.
But I think so.
But I am very curious because he was an OC at Texas with Mac Brown. Mm-hmm. So he got to see Mac Brown, the ultimate CEO, I feel like, of a head coach.
Sure.
So he got to see that. He got to see Chris Peterson. He was the OC when they called the Statue of Liberty play on that famous Boise State Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
So the Bo Nix situation. I'm so curious your take on this because, look, I love Patrick Nix, right? Growing up, I had a soft spot for Auburn. I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Those Auburn teams in the mid-90s, they were like my SEC team, right? So I love Patrick Nix, but I'll be honest, and I'm rooting for Bo, but I haven't been impressed when I watch, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the storyline is, you know, this is Bo's year, make or break. You know, they brought in T.J. Finley from LSU through the transfer portal to hopefully push him a little bit, or if Bo doesn't take that next step, maybe Finley does. And the first thing that everybody looked at when Harsin was hired at Auburn was, okay, do quarterbacks get better under Harsin? And they did, by a lot. And so I think when you look at what Bo Nix could possibly do, all he's got to do is get more consistent. Because I say this all the time on Locked On Auburn. There's four or five throws a game where you're just like, why can't he do that more? That was beautiful. And then there's a few throws where it's like he'll stand in the pocket and he'll just run out of it for no reason and he'll throw the ball off of his back foot, but it's 40 yards on a rope. And it's like, how in the world does this kid have the talent to do that? And then the next play, he just makes a super lazy read and, you know, it's just maybe he turns the ball over. Or, you know, it's a wide open receiver on 3rd and 6 or something like that. All he's got to do is get more consistent. The tools are there. And all we hear about Bo Nix time and time and time and time again for people within the program is how much of a football junkie this guy is, how much he loves studying the game and how much he loves, you know, if he's not doing something school related and he has some free time, he's either watching tape or he's working out or he's getting with his receivers and he's throwing to them. And it's like, well, that didn't really show up on the field. You know what I mean? Like the guy that made that game winning touchdown pass to Seth Williams in his first ever game against Oregon, and the guy that beat Mississippi State and then, you know, lost to Northwestern, I guess his most recent game, how much of a different person is he? And some people will have different answers. And then, like, A-Day comes around, and you see the Auburn fan base, we love to call it Auburn Twitter, they're like, oh my gosh, you look so much better. I'm like, I think he looks the same to me, but, you know, there aren't guys running after him, so it's impossible to know, but I think he does take a next step. I don't think he's a Heisman contender like some Auburn fans would hope, but I do think he's a top half SEC quarterback. And I think you can make the argument that he's a top half SEC quarterback now, barely, but I think you can make the argument. I don't think there's any kind of argument against him being a top 5 or 6 quarterback in the SEC at the end of the season. That's my guess.
I mean, as a freshman, you just hit on that Oregon game. I remember watching that and thinking, hey, he kind of reminds me of Baker Mayfield, right? I actually had like a little bit of, and I'm like, he's only a freshman and he's doing this against a pretty good Andy Avalos defense with the Ducks. So I was like, okay, this is their future. Now I do feel like he regressed, and that maybe that's Malzahn's thing. I mean, I know Stidham, when he went there, I didn't feel like Stidham was as good as I had seen Stidham play at Baylor. So maybe that, or maybe that's just Big 12 defenses. I don't know what it is, But you make an interesting point, though, with you know, Harsin coming in. I think maybe we should be optimistic. So gun to your head, is he the starter against Akron day one?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Bo Nix starts every game this year as long as he's healthy. But there is a reality that if he struggles and, you know, maybe he doesn't get things right against Akron and then you roll into Penn State in that third game of the year and maybe he flops, there's a chance then the next game you go to LSU, and how great would it be to go to LSU with their former quarterback and have a chance to win there for the first time in 2 decades? So we'll see. The college football storylines are always a lot of fun, but I think when it's all said and done, I think it's Bo Nix's job. But that Penn State game, week 3, is going to be very, very telling for how good this football team is. And Bo Nix is a big part of it. I think the defense is going to be fine. I think the running back's going to be great in Tank Bigsby, assuming he can stay healthy. And even if he can, I think Sean Chivers is very good behind him. The offensive line is going to be average, not going to be anything special. As far as the offense goes, it goes through Bo Nix, and we will know very, very early in the season if he's ready to do that or not.
Well, you're returning, I think, your whole O-line, so that's encouraging. And then Bigsby, I was really impressed by.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Tank's a stud. The returning the whole offensive line thing is kind of, the Auburn fan base is split on this because the O-line stunk last year. Like, it wasn't very good. It was a weakness. Now, I think Bo did some things to not help them out. I don't think he helped out his teammates a whole lot. And I also don't think Malzahn put calls on the field, whether it was him or Chad Morris calling plays. We'll never know the truth on that. But I don't think the coaching staff put together a game plan that really helped out the talent on the field consistently. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, you've got a new offensive line coach, Will Friend. He came from Tennessee. And, you know, he kind of followed Mike Bobo around a few different places. They've got a good relationship, it sounds like.
I like Bobo. I mean, when he was at Colorado State, I understand, you know, last year at South Carolina, things, you know, I don't know what it is, man. I just feel like Muschamp always struggles on the offensive side of the ball. But I believe Mike Bobo is a good offensive coordinator. I saw those Colorado State teams. I know they're in the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that he's a solid offensive coordinator. And I love, actually, the defensive coordinator hire. I think Derek Mason is I understand he you know, he just coming off getting fired, but come on, he was at Vanderbilt, but the guy's been a proven winner before. He was with the Harbaugh at Stanford. I think he's a good defensive coordinator. I like that addition. Now you look, talk defensive side of the ball. Well, actually offensively and defensively, bringing back seven starters each. So I guess before I hit to the defense, how do you feel about the receiving core? Cause you're breaking in new receivers, new tight end. Do you think that's just, traditionally, when we do these previews, I normally think that's if your team, if that's the glaring weakness, looking at your returning starters being like, well, I don't know about these receivers, I think that's normally a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to pick a position group to kind of be lagging a little bit, I agree with you. I think that's the one, especially the way Harsin's going to want to run his offense. They're going to want to run the football, blue collar type stuff. I think there's a lot of talent at the receiving core. It's just young, and it's just unproven. I've been saying for weeks, it's like, if Auburn can somehow get a guy, a veteran guy, through the transfer portal, it will totally change how this all looks. They've got a guy that played high school quarterback but was recruited as a receiver. His name's Kobe Hudson. I think he could be really, really good. And then there's a few other guys that we've seen glimpses of. Zevion Caper started as a true freshman last year for Gus. Big-bodied guy. They played him in the slot primarily. And then Zevion Capers, Elijah Canyon. He's the guy that really popped in the bowl game because so many guys got hurt, and he didn't really play that much last year, but in the bowl game, he really exploded. He had a good A-day as well. So there's a few guys you can look at and say, okay, there's a chance there. The veteran in the room is Shedrick Jackson, Bo Jackson's nephew, for those interested in that.
I love it.
Yeah, a little tidbit there. He's been on the field a lot, but he hasn't really caught a whole lot of passes, and he's kind of been battling injuries, you know, over the last few seasons. So he's also a guy to watch. He's going to be the leader in the group, but I don't know if he's going to be the leader on the field, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Now defensively, I hit on Derek Mason coming in. I think that's going to help. Returning seven starters, and really, I guess, the big thing defensively that getting back, you know, your defensive line, Tyrone Truesdell, that guy's a beast. Getting him back, senior defensive lineman, and mixing him in with McLean at linebacker, who led the team with 113 tackles a season ago, and then Owen Papo, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Papo.
Papo, okay.
Papo, yep.
I like what I see defensively, and even like, okay, you're replacing a couple starters, you know, in the secondary, one on the D line, perhaps one in the linebacking core, but I'm not that concerned. I think the defense actually might be the strong part of this team. What's your take on that?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think the defensive line, there's some questions there. You know, you mentioned Truesdell, super senior now. He kind of kept that extra year of eligibility through COVID, which is fine, good for him, but the defensive line got pushed around last year. I mean, it's like they had no plan, you know, for Derek Brown leaving. They did not have anybody that could kind of step in and do that. And then they had this guy that was really, really having a really strong spring named Jeremiah Wright, who'd been in the program for a little bit. And then in spring, he tore his knee up, which is a shame. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be Truesdell. They got a transfer guy from UAB that's going to be exciting. I think both of those guys are over 300 pounds, so we'll see how they do that. They've got a hot shot freshman on the defensive front. His name's Lee Hunter from Mobile. We'll see how he does. But the defense as a whole, I mean, you mentioned the two linebackers, Jacoby McLean, Owen Papo. And then, I mean, they've got a bunch of NFL guys in the defensive backfield. Roger McCreary could have gone to probably be a second or third round pick this year. He's got a chance to be a first round pick at the end of the season if he does what he did last year. So he's going to be really special. Smoke Monday could have gone to the league. I think he's got a lot of traits that the NFL is really, really going to like. And so you just kind of look around there, and Drayshon Miller from West Virginia, he was one of the best corners in college football last year, and he chose to leave West Virginia, and he came to Auburn. So he's probably going to be the guy opposite McCreary. So they're, the safeties and corners for this defense are going to be really, really fun. And when you look at what Derek Mason does so well, is he loves coaching safety. So I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah, yeah, and that's funny you mentioned that. I was just hitting on just in the past week, West Virginia, how great that defense was. It kind of flew under the radar. So here we are, DraftKings Sportsbook saying the win total set at 7. From we're gonna go through the schedule here, but my first reaction, blindly without looking at the schedule, was I'm gonna smash that over. What I mean, I know you know the schedule, so I guess we should just get into this. But out the gate, this is good for Harsin, I think. You know, building up, getting Akron, who's just a horrible team in the MAC, but getting that first win under your belt and then getting Alabama State, I think, very key for the gauntlet they're about to run after that. Because after Alabama State, so they're going to be 2-0. All sure. right, there's no way they're going to lose those two games.
Yeah.
At Penn State, State College, you know, Penn State was a weird team last year. I tend to believe that last year was just a flash in the pan. Like, I don't believe that they were as bad as what that outcome was. And a lot of players opt out at the last second. Micah Parsons. So I actually think they're better than what we probably expect.
Finished the year pretty strong last year too, and I think that says a lot about your culture and your character and your coaching staff. So yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. So that game's brutal. I think you could win that 100%, but I also feel like if I had to set a line, I would probably go Penn State -3.
I think I would say the same thing. Yeah, I've got a bad feeling about this game from Auburn's perspective. So right now, as we record this in June, I'm taking Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know you're an Auburn guy, so I'm going to take Penn State there. But then you get Georgia State, which, by the way, I think this is a win, but tread lightly, because ask Tennessee about how Georgia State and Sean Elliott, their coach. I understand they're a Sun Belt team. I understand this is probably, you know, Auburn probably wins by 4 touchdowns, but I do think it's a sneaky spot because it's right sandwiched between the at Penn State and the at LSU, but we're going to give you the win here. But I'm just saying that was, I remember Tennessee fans being devastated. I think they opened up a season a couple years ago when, and they had high hopes. It seems like they've had high hopes for 20
Tennessee,
years.
Tennessee, what? You kidding me?
So I think they get through Georgia State, but then they hit the road at LSU, and this is a team I have a hard time getting a read on LSU. They went 5-5 a season ago. I understand people say, well, they played better the second half of the season, and maybe they're like a Penn State where, you know, we had this crazy season. But at the same time, like, you can also play the other side of that coin and say, well, LSU needed a Florida player to rip off the cleat and throw it 20 yards down the field to get a 15-yard penalty so they could beat Florida with the 57-yard field goal just to have a .500 season. I mean, look, we know they're extremely talented, but call me crazy. I'm not a huge believer yet in Coach O. So I think this is a winnable game.
I do, too. I think Auburn wins this game. I am oddly overconfident about this, considering Auburn hasn't won there in 20 years. So I think that's a storyline we will definitely hear. We hear that every other year until that's done. And I think Brian Harsin is a guy that doesn't care about storylines. He's not going to let that be brought up in his locker room. So I think that's going to help. But I'm right there with you. I'm not super high on a lot of what LSU is doing. And obviously they won the Natty 2 years ago, but I think all the key parts of that are gone at this point, whether, you know, it's the players or, you know, they lost a ton of coaches as well. I'm not high on Brennan. He's been there for, you know, since 1985, it seems like. I mean, it's just like, is that guy ever going to graduate and leave LSU?
I was surprised to see that they're going to start. I mean, I know that there's still going to be camp and a competition, but I thought their freshman, not Finley, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. The other freshman.
Yeah, he's the guy that beat Florida, right?
Yeah, and I thought he played pretty good. So, but if they're going, I'm going to join you on this. I'm going to say Auburn gets the win in Baton Rouge. Look at this schedule, though, dude. To get Penn State, LSU, and Georgia, 3 out of 4 games. Whew.
Yeah.
Bring your Tylenol, man. Because now the Georgia game, I've made the case for this. If Georgia's got a nice schedule the way it sets up. Obviously, they got
Shocker.
The Clemson game. Yeah, exactly. Isn't it nice to be in the SEC East?
Yeah, really.
But here we go. Georgia comes in to Jordan Hare. So how do you feel? I mean, I think blindly right now, obviously, we got to take Georgia because the way their schedule sets up. But at the same time, Georgia is known to drop a game. Like, to me, it was like that South Carolina game a few years ago. And obviously, I think Auburn a lot better than South Carolina. I could totally see you winning this here, but I do think if you win that LSU game, I could totally see you losing this too.
So I think the argument you can make for Auburn in this, and I pick Georgia in this game, but if you want to make the argument for Auburn, is this is going to be the first SEC game at home since COVID. And you got a new coaching staff. I mean, Jordan Hare is going to be fired up, especially if you're coming off a win at LSU for the first time in 20 years. So, I mean, it could set the stage for an awesome evening under the lights at Jordan Hare Stadium. But what I think is going to happen is that table is set, and it's still an awesome night. But I think Georgia is just so talented. They're a very, very good football team. And, you know, I think they're going to lose to Clemson week one, and I don't know if they're going to lose again. They are very, very good. And so
I'm with you. I think this is like Georgia's year, but JT Daniels has to stay healthy because I still think they have Stetson Bennett back there. And then there's such a drop off. I would assume that one of their freshmen would have to be better than Stetson Bennett, but I'm going to give it to Georgia too, man. So here we are. We would have you then with just two losses, but four wins. And then you're at Arkansas, and this was a wild game last year. Mm-hmm. This was a wild game last year, if you remember. The
backward spike.
Yes.
Yeah.
The SEC issued an apology. Arkansas, I guess, technically should have won the game. But at this point, I do like Sam Pittman, but their schedule's absolutely brutal. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna take the Tigers to get the win here. Despite what I like, I do think Pittman's the right guy for the job, though.
I do too.
Considering. Yeah, but you want the Tigers here, I assume?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, then we get a bye week, and I think that's a good spot to catch a bye week because Ole Miss is one of these teams that I truly, they have a gigantic ceiling to me, like a really high ceiling, but also they could have a low ceiling to me. They had the worst defense in the country last year. They had the one of the best offenses, if not the best. So, yeah. I mean, talk about a real high variance team here. I do think this is a dangerous game for Auburn because I totally could see Ole Miss winning this, but I could also see Ole Miss having a bad season where everyone's projecting them to have a good season because if that defense isn't fixed, I do expect a lot of these SEC offenses to be better than they were a season ago. You look at Mike Leach, uh-huh. That was horrible offensively in Starkville. I think Harsin will have this offense better than what Malzahn had it at. And I expect even Arkansas with Briles in year two without, you know, he didn't get spring ball last year to really implement that offense. So I think Ole Miss has a storm coming if they don't fix their defensive problems. So I'm assuming you're on Auburn here.
I am. Yeah. And I think, you know, I like Corral, the quarterback at Ole Miss. I like him. But as you start reading some of these preseason magazines that come out and these season previews are all over the place, people really, really like him. And I don't know if I really, really like Matt Corral. So I think Ole Miss is fine. I think they're about where they were last year. I think it's going to take Kiffin time to really elevate that program, assuming he ever does. But yeah, I think Auburn wins that one.
I'm with you. So we're sitting there then at 5-2, and then you're at A&M. Look, there's a lot of hype, and Jimbo's been very outspoken coming at Alabama this year. He's saying, call me crazy, but A&M was a team that, like, I lobbied for them. I said they have a right to the playoffs than Notre Dame did, I thought, right? But at the same time, I also know that this was still a team that won by five at home against Vanderbilt. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, so now that was the first game. So I do think they got a lot better as the season progressed. I think this is a winnable game. I'm not all the way on board on A&M. I do think they're a good team in the SEC. I just don't know that I can just say blindly, though, hey, this is a for sure win. Now, obviously, if I'm setting a line, I would favor A&M because it's in College Station. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I don't think Auburn's lost in College Station since A&M has entered the SEC, if I recall that stat correctly. But I think A&M wins this game. I think that's more of a gut reaction than anything else. I think the way they've been recruiting is very, very impressive. I think losing Kellen Mond is a good thing for them.
I do too.
If I'm being honest with you,
I couldn't believe he got drafted so high. I call me crazy, and I got nothing against the guy personally, but I remember that Clemson game, and luckily I ended up covering my bet on this on the final play of the game. But he threw high. I felt like every play of the game, and I'm like, how is this guy on NFL? Like, what was he, a third round draft pick? I think
he went to the Vikings, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but hey, more power to him. But yeah, okay. So I'll go with you. I'll go with you here on A&M, home to Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State's one of the most interesting teams on the program, or you know, in college football this year, because I'm very curious. That defense was actually really good last year, and I got to admit, we've had Coach Leach on the show several times, so I'm a little bit biased. But
that's okay.
I think Mississippi State will be a little bit better. So if he could just move the ball a little bit offensively, I expect this defense to be better. But the fact it's at Auburn, I think we got to favor Auburn.
Yeah, I think Auburn's defense is kind of set up to defend against the pass pretty well. So, yeah, I'm going to take Auburn too.
Okay, and then at South Carolina, I have no idea. You want to talk about the hire that kind of shocked me. Shane Beamer to South Carolina. I have no idea what to expect with South Carolina, and that hire shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to blindly say Auburn wins this but at the same time, I am very curious to see South Carolina this year because I don't know what to expect. He's a guy that never was like an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. It's a strange hire to me. I understand he was a special teams coach of Oklahoma, and obviously his dad had great special teams at Virginia Tech. Give me Auburn until I see more.
Yeah, I'm taking Auburn this one too. Now, however, I thought Auburn would beat South Carolina last year, and that we all know how that went. So, the coaching hire is interesting because they were the first to fire their guy. Like, they fired Muschamp like so early in the season, and then I just assumed you did that so you could get first pick and get an early start on things. But no, they went with their guy. It's just, I thought that was odd. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess he's got the pedigree in the family, but at the same time, I think they're one of the more interesting teams to watch just because I have no idea what to expect. I'm expecting them to be bad just because I don't think he has a lot of experience. But to be fair, Dabo Swinney was one that didn't have that real rep like that too, and I think he wasn't even a positions coach at the time. So that one. Maybe that can happen. It worked. That's probably what it is they looked at Clemson in state and said, hey, they went with a guy who wasn't an OC or a DC.
Yeah, that's why it worked out. Yeah, that's why it worked out.
And then you got the big one, man. The big one is the now traditionally, I feel like normally you guys will schedule. And I feel like this is kind of an SEC thing where they'll put like their FCS team before Bama. Mm-hmm. I feel like, or not, maybe not before Bama, but in like November. This year, you're not doing that. I think that might hurt some. The fact that you got to go to Columbia and then the next week you're home to Bama. I mean, look, you host an Auburn podcast. I'd be disrespecting you if I said Bama's going to come in and win. All right.
You could say that. I'll say it. Alabama's going to beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl this year.
Hey, Harsin, you want to get off on a good start?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if he pulls this off, though? I mean, or I think if he beats Georgia, you can make this argument. But if he's able to come in and inherit, you know, this quote-unquote mess that he inherited from the Malzahn era. And like I said, I mean, I like Gus. But if he beats Georgia or Alabama next year, I think you could definitely make the argument that he's coach of the year in the SEC. I think it would just be such a huge statement in either case. Because I think that would be Georgia's second loss. Then it's like, can they get back in it? Like, even if they run the table after that, can they get back in it? And so, I mean, if he, I don't know, man. I just thought Auburn was closer to Alabama than they were because they won a game they probably shouldn't have in 2019. And then last year, I mean, we just saw, like, not even in this, it didn't look like they were in the same conference. I mean, it was bad. It was really, really bad. And then you're kicking field goals when you're down like 14. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, are you trying to just not get shut out? And like, it just didn't work out well. So I just want to see from that game. One, I think Auburn always has a chance to beat Alabama at home. You know, I don't think it's going to be a slaughter like last year by any means. But if it is, there's a bigger issue at hand. You know, I mean, just the separation between the two programs, like, is it getting farther and farther apart? And I don't think we'll know the answer to that till November. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, if I had to pick right now, I think Alabama wins.
Yeah, I mean, look, I do think Bama is going to lose a game in the regular season. I made that. Well, I got to stick to my guns because I made this projection on the Alabama podcast, although I don't feel great about that. Don't put your money on that.
What was your prediction?
I said 11-1. Someone's going to bite them. Someone's going to bite them. And I thought maybe at Florida, maybe at Auburn. I think they also get A&M in College Station. And they get, I think, Mississippi State and Starkville. I said, someone, maybe, but I'm probably going to be wrong because I'll put it like this. I don't normally bet against Bama. Normally, like last year, I got great odds. I took them to win the SEC West. I think I got it at +350 beginning of the season.
Wow.
Oh, no, not the SEC West, the SEC. I'm sorry. To win the SEC. Uh-huh. And I was surprised the odds were set like that because I didn't really sweat on that bet at all. So, if it goes the way we just projected it, they would be on the over. That'd be 8-4. So that would be a good first year, right? Would you be completely happy with an 8-4 season, even though you lost to Bama and Georgia and A&M and Penn State?
I think so. I mean, everybody kind of hammered Gus because he can never beat Georgia, LSU, or Alabama. And which is weird because he beat Alabama more than anybody else did. But I think that LSU win would go a long way. I really do. And I think then it's just like, how do you lose to Georgia and Alabama? Because the way they lost to Georgia and Alabama last year was embarrassing. The whole, you know, you mentioned Stetson Bennett, and it's like, yeah, that was the fact, yeah, that you allowed it to become the Stetson Bennett show. Like, what are you doing? Like, that was yeah, that was a disaster. And so, yeah, I think a lot of folks would be happy with 8-4. There will also be some Auburn fans where it's like, we paid millions and millions of dollars to get rid of the coach that always goes 8-4, and we got another coach who went 8-4. So I think it'd be split, but I think the more level-headed fans would be happy with it.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think for year one coming in, I mean, we've seen, you know, I mean, it's the toughest division in football. So I think, you know, what's 8-4 in that division in the SEC West is probably 10-2, 11-1, maybe even 12-0 in some other situations there. So I think you got to just, you know, to just enjoy it. If you get one of those with your rivals, I think that's your goal. Right. And obviously have a winning season. So, well, Zach, I appreciate you coming on the show, guys. Everyone, make sure you check out his podcast, the host of the Locked On Auburn podcast. They talk Auburn football and basketball, which catches my eye because this is the college football experience. I also host the college basketball experience. So, Zach, I'm going to have you back talking some college basketball as the season arrives. And also, obviously, with football season coming, I'm sure some of these marquee matchups, maybe before Penn State or something, I'll have to have you back on.
Perfect.
Yeah, everyone give Zach a follow. Also, I want to say on Twitter at ZBlackerby, at ZBlackerby, that's BlackerBy. I appreciate you hopping on the show, man, and go War Eagle, baby.
Hey, I love it. War Eagle, brother. Thank you.
Take care. Have a wonderful day.
Hope y'all enjoyed that, and we'll be back on Monday. This has been Locked On Auburn. Feel free to follow me on Twitter at ZBlackerby, on shows on Twitter at Locked On Auburn, and on Instagram at Auburn Podcast. Yeah, we'll be back Monday. Have a great Father's Day, everyone. Happy Father's Day.